You're listening to a proud member of the Dice Tower Network, dedicated to bringing podcasters together for the greater good of gaming. It's sort of like Voltron, but with better lip syncing. Find out more at dicetowernetwork.com.
And welcome to another episode of the Family Gamers Podcast. This is episode 178.
Hello, everybody. It is episode 178 of the Family Gamers Podcast. As always, I'm your host, Andrew, and I'm joined by my lovely and wonderful wife, Anitra.
Who has to put up with you while you are sick.
That's true. I don't know if people can tell if they've heard my voice enough that, I mean, do I sound sick?
A little bit, yeah.
A little bit, yeah. I am kind of dying right
now. You are really sick.
Yeah,
We probably shouldn't even be doing this, but you're a workaholic, so here we are.
Contractual obligations to release episode 178 of the show, but also I've been in bed like all day long. And
you just need a break.
Yeah, you know what? Like, after like 10 hours, bed is boring.
I know.
I mean, 10 hours like awake.
Even 10 hours of sleep, bed is boring.
But hello, everybody, and welcome to the show.
As we mentioned, Andrew is sick.
I'm dying, everybody.
We're going to quickly go through what we've been playing and then take a break. And then we're going to talk about games that are about sickness.
Mm-hmm. All of the sickness.
We can make anything a theme.
Well, that's where we are right now. Okay. So what have we been playing, Anitra?
We've been playing some.
Mm-hmm.
We were generously gifted a copy of Azul.
Yes.
So you played it some with Asher,
mm-hmm.
and our daughter Claire saw it and asked me to play it with her a couple of days later.
Which is very non-Claire.
This is a big deal, because normally she doesn't ask to play games, and even when she does, she doesn't ask to play specific games.
Yeah.
So that was pretty cool. We played it 1.5 times. I was going to say twice.
Okay. We received it Wednesday night, and Thursday morning, I was starting to get sick. And came out at like 5:30 in the morning, and Asher was sitting on the couch watching TV. So I was like, we're going to play a game.
Let's do something slightly more constructive with our early morning hours.
Exactly.
All right. I've also been playing a little bit of Bon Appetit in preparation for a review, which should be coming out the end of this week for listeners.
Okay.
You and I learned King Domino Duel.
We did.
That was pretty neat. It takes the King Domino scoring and combines it with dice rolling and makes it a real tight back and forth between just two players.
You demolished me. It was not even close.
I mean, I did, but that was also when you were starting to get sick, so I think you might have been a little off your game.
I
think you'll do better next time.
I'm content to say that you wrecked me at that game. It's fine with me. So before I got sick, I hosted our Common Heart game night, and we played some The Grim Masquerade. Because we had just released that review, and so I had it on mind. We played some Fuse.
Nice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that game is hard. That game is really,
so hard.
Really hard. But even on super, super easy, it's still practically impossible.
But it's the kind of hard where you're always looking at being like, I can do better!
Yeah.
Sort of.
We also played Concept.
Nice.
Yep. And Get the MacGuffin, because I could tell people were kind of ready for the end of the night. And I was like, let's get one more in there.
Squeeze one more in there.
We squoze in Get the MacGuffin.
Nice. While you were at game night, we were at home playing one of the newest additions to our review queue called Crazy Tower. This game is cool.
Okay, tell me all about it.
So it looks kind of like a cross between Jenga and Rhino Hero. You're putting these polyomino blocks and cards and stacking them on top of each other. But what it is you're building kind of like an architect. You're looking at the floor spaces available on the little card and where you can put your blocks. But you're also trying to sabotage other players and make it really hard for them to place blocks.
Sure.
So basically you're always trying to make somebody else be the person to knock down the tower.
I mean, that's kind of Rhino Hero-y.
Yeah.
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 So.
But this is up to 4 players and you each have a unique color. And there are some unique powers on the cards that make you, like, take out blocks or trade blocks with other players. It is real neat and real accessible. We even played it the next day with my mom and the kids, and they had a great time.
Nice. Yeah, I have nothing else on my list.
I got 2 more quick ones.
Let's do it.
I have been telling Claire for a little while that she should really play Koi with me. This is a beautiful game about goldfish from Smirk and Laughter, in which you learn that goldfish are mean.
Goldfish are jerks.
Goldfish are huge jerks. But it's a neat game. It is beautiful. And even though you're being kind of jerky to each other and trying to steal food from each other, it still feels kind of calm and peaceful based on the art and the fact that the pond you're playing in is actually quite large. So you can steal from each other or you can just try to go separate ways. Before we played Koi, Claire requested that we play Fluff. This was less surprising. It's one of her favorite games. We don't play it very often. And we were reminded why halfway through the game there was a major meltdown from another player who will remain unnamed, but it was not Claire.
Okay.
And it was a reminder that the job of parenting children and teaching them how to win gracefully, lose gracefully, and play in a cooperative way, even in a competitive game, that job is not done and will not be done for many, many years.
You know, I think after this whole meltdown happened, I think we had a conversation about how I would rather have them have these meltdowns at home in a safe space where they're not going to lose their job for having a meltdown.
Yeah.
And learn how to deal with adversity.
It was really frustrating at the time, but it's just part of parenting. And mm-hmm. I would rather deal with it than hear about it later from some third party that this was an issue. So, yeah. I'm glad I was there to walk the kids through why it wasn't okay and how to deal with it differently, and we'll do better next time. So that's it. We kept it short, as promised. Let's take a quick break.
All right, we'll be right back. I cast magic missile at the ghost.
You can't do that. You haven't learned it yet.
What is this, school?
Well, not exactly school. It's an academy.
A dungeon academy?
This is a snap review for Dungeon Academy, a real-time pathfinding game for 1-6 players. Dungeon Academy was designed by Julian Elaine and illustrated by Regis Torres. It's published by Matagot and in the United States by The Op.
Dungeon Academy is a new twist on a roll-and-write game. To play Dungeon Academy first, each player gets a hero card and an adventure sheet. Your hero has some kind of asymmetric special ability, and it also determines how much mana and how much health you have at the beginning of the game.
These are represented by blue tokens for mana and red tokens for health.
Decide how much time you want for your dungeon crawl. Usually we use 1 minute for a relatively easy challenge. And then you take the 16 dice and you roll them into the cardboard tray.
This is the roof of the dungeon. Cover the roof with the other piece of the dungeon, that's the floor, and then flip it over and place it on the table. When everybody is ready, start the timer and lift off the roof, revealing the dungeon layout.
As soon as the dungeon layout is revealed, you start drawing a path that you'll take on your adventure sheet. You start on any side of the dungeon, but you can't start in the middle. Continue through the dungeon without going through the same room twice, and you exit the dungeon somewhere else.
Every room holds either a monster or a potion. Red monsters reduce your health, your red tokens. That's blobs and colossus. Blue monsters reduce your mana. That's your blue tokens. They're ghosts and reapers.
There's also red and blue potions to help you recover your life as you go through the dungeon. You want to maximize the number of monsters you encounter. For every monster that you encounter, you lose some life, but you can get some life back. At the end of the round, you're going to be getting victory points for those monsters, so you do want to make sure that you get as many as you can.
As soon as you've completed drawing your path, grab the top exit card. These are numbered 1-6. Once everybody has exited, or time has run out, it's time to grade!
The best way to do this is for the player to the left to walk the player to the right through the dungeon, subtracting and adding health as appropriate to make sure that they've survived their dungeon crawl.
There's a cute little teacher figurine that you can use to manually walk over the dice and make sure that everybody's on the same page.
If you manage to get out of the dungeon without dying, you get 1 point for every monster that you kill.
No matter how big it was and how much health it took from you.
That's right. The Colossi and the Reapers still only give you 1 point each.
You might get bonuses based on your hero card or the loot that you have. You also will get to choose a quest from the bottom of your sheet. Every quest can be completed only once per game, and it'll give you a bonus for all the monsters of a certain type you fought, whether that's red monsters, blue monsters, small monsters, or big monsters.
Once everyone's path has been checked, the heroes who completed the dungeon get loot. You draw as many loot cards as there are players, even if some players didn't finish, and you draft from that collection in the order that you finish the dungeon. If you didn't make it out of the dungeon for any reason, you died, you ran out of time, you broke a rule like going through a room twice, you get 0 points. You get to fill up your health, but you don't get any loot.
When everybody has finished checking their paths and everyone has gotten their loot or refilled their health and mana, you get ready for the next level. You're going to play 4 levels in a game of Dungeon Academy. Once you're used to playing the game, you can add the Labyrinth die starting at level 2.
And the boss die before starting level 4.
After the 4th level, everybody adds up their points. That's from each level, from your quests, from your bonuses, and the player with the most points wins.
So, Anitra, what do we think of Dungeon Academy?
I really like Dungeon Academy. It's easy to teach. It moves fast. Every level is over in a minute, with usually about 5 minutes to resolve all the individual paths afterwards. So the entire game only takes 20 minutes.
This is a roll and write, and so we talk a lot about our Agent of Chaos, our 5-year-old. He can play this game because everybody is operating on their own maps.
Yeah, the box says 10+, and we probably wouldn't recommend it for other 5-year-olds, but I would say most 7 or 8-year-olds should be fine.
So our 5-year-old basically just draws a line straight through the dungeon from the top to the bottom or the bottom to the top. But he gets points, he loves the idea of killing monsters, he gets to participate in what everybody else is doing, and he has a blast doing it.
And he chooses exactly where that line is going to go very carefully.
He actually does a pretty good job, I've got to admit.
Dungeon Academy uses dice in a really unusual way, creating a randomized dungeon layout for every level. We've played dungeons that are overflowing with points, and we've played dungeons that are best to leave quickly because there are way too many monsters and no potions to refill your health and mana. The Labyrinth die and the boss die add even more randomness to the challenge, because you'll never know if you'll get a boss monster that requires lots of energy and gives a big reward, or maybe just a chest that'll give you points for nothing.
And the thing I love the most about these dice is that it's truly random. It's true with many roll and writes that every game is a little bit different, but different people have different tendencies. And so if you play with the same people a lot, you might see the same things, even if there actually is player interaction in a roll and write game. With this, that doesn't happen. The dice are completely random. And so every time you really do have to think through how you're going to encounter that dungeon.
The heroes and the loot cards also make a difference here. Some heroes have a very unbalanced distribution, like a lot of health and very little mana, or vice versa. Some are much more balanced and give other kinds of bonuses. The loot cards are the major way that players interact in the game, in how the loot cards are drafted, and this is important because some loot cards are good for certain situations and not others, and some loot cards just stink overall. There are a few that change the colors of the potions that you pick up, or literally do nothing. Overall, I think Dungeon Academy is very accessible, easy to get into. We love playing it. We bring it to game night all the time. And as we alluded to with our 5-year-old, it's pretty language independent. There's very little reading, and what there is, you can easily explain to the non-reader in your life. The time factor could be a source of stress, but if timed games bother you, you know who you are.
I mean, honestly, as long as people aren't being ridiculous, you don't necessarily have to have a timer. It's just something to keep the game going.
Yeah, but even if you don't have a timer, you're racing the other players to try to get the best position for drafting loot.
Exactly. Dungeon Academy is available on Amazon for a little bit under $30, or you can find it at your friendly local game store.
I think it's a great buy for that price. You're getting a lot in the box.
Absolutely. The component quality is great, as are most games from the OP.
So, Andrew, what are we going to rate Dungeon Academy?
For the cross-generational play, the great art, the fantastic randomization, and the slightly different take on the roll-and-write genre, I think Dungeon Academy crushes 4.5 out of 5 monsters.
And that's Dungeon Academy in a snap.
And we're back.
I just had a wonderful coughing fit and drank an entire mug of tea. So we're now ready to talk about sick games.
Yes.
Or games that have sickness as a...
Games that are down with the sickness?
Down with the... Sure.
Now, I'm going to start with a disclaimer here. If you are sick, if you are sick like Andrew is sick, you probably should not be playing games at all. You should be in bed, resting, maybe reading a book or watching TV. Don't play board games. You handle too many parts. You're going to get other people sick.
Yeah, I mean, we were talking about what we were going to talk about, and I suggested games to play when you are sick. And we both very quickly pointed out that I don't really have the capacity to play games right now.
You are in no condition to play games.
Not even remotely. And I'm washing my hands like I'm paranoid.
Which is
good. I don't
good.
Want anybody in my family to get this horrible thing.
I really hope nobody does. I'm so, not
if we did games to play while you're sick, it would have been an exceptionally short show. So we didn't do that. We are instead going to talk about games that include sickness as a theme.
Yes. So sickness is a theme. One of our favorites in
this game so
category
much.
Is Viral.
I love Viral. It is a fantastic entry-level area control game where you are playing as a virus in the human body.
I think it's really neat. I like the way the theme all holds together. I just have a hard time kind of following what's going on.
The only thing
the game.
About that I think might help it is if it was a little bit more clear what direction viruses could travel in the veins and in the arteries. That has definitely tripped people up a fair bit, but
yeah, it
really
should
like,
be clear, and yet it's just,
well,
it's
arrows
missing
are just
a little
small,
bit. Yeah.
You know? I mean, there could have been, the whole game is so cartoony that they could have had almost like cartoon arrows.
Big cartoony arrows would have been good.
I really like that everybody does their placements and then everything, you sort of adjudicate the board.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I like that approach. I mean, maybe it's the closet diplomacy fan in me. I don't know. But it's fun. It's funny. Asher loves this game.
Yeah.
The big green monster on the front always makes me think of Monty Python. I mean, how could you go wrong?
Sure.
So that is Viral by Arcane Wonders.
All right. Well, let's talk about another game about sickness that the Family Gamers has reviewed. This one is Bad Doctor from Mayday Games.
Yep. So this is the game that...
Just thinking about it, I start laughing.
I mean, we were really nervous getting this game out of the box.
The illustration style for it is so weird. It's cartoony, but in the style I associate with, like, Doonesbury comics or other ones that are really intended for adults, not intended for children. But once I got past that concept...
And by the way, it's not bad. It's just weird the way that it fits the theme, right?
It's almost like political cartoon style.
Kind of.
Yeah. But themed around sickness and doctors. And this is the game where you don't really care if patients die as long as they don't do it on your turn.
Exactly. I mean, it lives up to its title. Let me put it like that.
But it's hilarious to load up a patient with, like, new maladies and then just pass up the buck to the next doctor in order.
And that is exactly the goal of the game is to heal patients on your turn if you can. Otherwise, make sure they don't die on your turn.
Yeah. I mean, healing is great. Healing is part of how you get points. Mm-hmm. But mostly it's about just not losing huge amounts of points when patients die.
Yep. So that is Bad Doctor from Mayday Games.
All right. Now let's talk about one that we've played, but we don't own ourselves.
Mm-hmm. This is probably the most casual game on this list.
Pretty close.
Yeah.
Yeah. This one is Organ Attack by Awkward Yeti.
Mm-hmm.
So Awkward Yeti is this comic strip which often features the brain and the heart and the stomach and the tongue.
They're funny. I like them a lot.
I like those comics. They're good. Mm-hmm. And the creator of these comics, a few years ago now, made a card game called Organ Attack, which is literally you are attacking each other's hand of organs.
Yeah.
And trying to make them atrophy and get sick and die.
Yeah, it's kind of this hand management, player elimination, take that game where you're trying to get all of the other players to lose all of their cards by infecting their organs or straight up killing them or whatever.
Yeah. So this is a fairly light game, but it would make an excellent gift for the medical professional in your life, especially because the outer sleeve for the case looks just like a medical textbook.
And even though it's Awkward Yeti and funny and really not serious in any way, all of the cards feature real things.
yeah, real organs, real maladies. It's the way that this stuff actually does fit together in real life. It's just done in a humorous way.
So that is Organ Attack by Awkward Yeti.
All right, we're keeping the list short, but we've got two more.
Everybody probably was thinking about this game when we opened the show and said we were going to be talking about sickness.
Pandemic. And all of its associated spinoffs.
Mm-hmm. Well, some of them are not about sickness.
Pretty much all of them, though.
But some of them are not. Fall of Rome is not about sickness.
All right.
But anyway, yes.
Pandemic, cure the world. We're seeing coronavirus in Hong Kong and China.
Yes.
Go please, stamp it out.
Please let me not have coronavirus, please. If you're going with games with a theme of sickness, you have to include Pandemic. And
absolutely.
Obviously, games like The Cure are going to appeal to dice rolling fans. Games like the original Pandemic are going to appeal to classic cooperative game fans. Mm. There's something in the line for everyone.
Very true. And because it's an open information cooperative game, it is certainly a game you could play with your kids and
sure.
direct them through, why don't we do this and why don't we try that?
Yeah, I mean, it's a complex enough game that you probably would have to quarterback a fair bit.
Yes.
And I don't like doing that so much, but you could.
Right.
I think if you played with older kids, you'd be fine.
Yeah. Unlike some other games that we've talked about in the past, this is definitely one where you can do it.
Mm-hmm.
All right, one last one. This one is Anatomy Flux. Much like Organ Attack, very casual. This one is more based on purely parts of anatomy, but the various goals often involve diseases. So we're going to grandfather it in.
Yeah, I like that. That sounds good.
Anatomy Flux. This is, of course, by Looney Labs, like all the Flux games.
And that's it, which is good because I'm dying.
Yeah, it's about time to roll Andrew back off into bed.
Mm-hmm.
But I hope you enjoyed this episode. If you have games that involve disease and sickness that you love to play, please tell us. Find us online on Facebook at FamilyGamersAA or our Facebook community. The easiest way to get there is go to thefamilygamers.com/community or tell us on Twitter. At FamilyGamersAA.
Or Instagram.
Or even see if you want to comment on Instagram. At FamilyGamersAA. If you don't like all this newfangled social media, email us.
Andrew@thefamilygamers.com.
Anitra@thefamilygamers.com.
Please don't forget to subscribe to the show, tell your friends about the show, and leave us a review at Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts. Thank you, First Move Financial, for sponsoring this episode of the show.
Well, I think that's going to be it for this week.
All right. Till next week, everybody.
Play games with your kids.